Hello, lovely people. Hope you had an awesome weekend. So good to be back with you. Let's start this week strong. Remember, complacency is the constant enemy. Let's learn one thing or do something today that makes us a little better today than we were yesterday. It's Constitution Week here in the United States. The document that starts with the famous words, "We the people," was signed 236 years ago on Sunday. The Constitution created a charter for the United States as we know it today. Of course, it hasn't stayed the same since 1787. There have been various changes or amendments through the years. In 1791, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution were ratified, forming what is known as the Bill of Rights. They list specific prohibitions on the government's power and guarantee certain individual protections and liberties in the United States, like freedom of speech. And that leads us to pop quiz, hotshot. Since the Bill of Rights, how many additional amendments have been added to the Constitution? 7, 10, 15, or 17? Put your hands up if you said 17. The most recent, the 27th Amendment, was passed in 1992. More news now on the historic and unprecedented United Auto Workers strike against the big three American automakers, Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. It's unprecedented because this is the first time in its history that the union has struck all three of America's unionized car makers. Union workers are seeking increased wages, benefits, and job protections. The demands come as all three automakers reported record or near-record profits. The union is trying to recapture many benefits they had been forced to give up more than a decade ago when the companies were cash-starved and on the brink of bankruptcy. Union members say they had reasonably productive talks with Ford on Saturday, but the union and the three major companies still remained far apart on wages and benefits. Ford and General Motors have responded to the strike by threatening layoffs for non-striking workers due to the lack of parts from striking plants. General Motors says they will lay off up to 2,000 workers this week if the strike continues. But the workers walking the picket line, they say that they're going to stick it out until they get a deal that suits them. Negotiations were ongoing at the time of this recording. Here's our Rahel Solomon with more.
Yeah, this is going to come down to time ultimately. How economically costly this ultimately is will really hinge on how long the strike continues. Now, if it is an extended strike, well, analysts warn the economic costs will add up. One estimate from the Anderson Economic Group estimates that the strike could cost the economy $5 billion if it lasts 10 days. Now, one thing to consider with that estimate is that that would have been a full strike of UAW, 143,000 workers. At this point, about a tenth of that figure is actually striking, so keep that in mind. But that estimate does include things like lost pay, losses to manufacturers, but also suppliers. Now, guys, if it feels like there have been more strikes than usual, yeah, it's not just your imagination. So what's behind the increased strike activity, both here in the U.S. and around the world, to be honest? Well, I asked Art Wheaton that. He runs the labor program at Cornell, and he says high inflation, a tight labor market, which has workers feeling like they have the upper hand. They can ask for the things that they want. Also, public support has steadily increased for unions. And also COVID-19, as workers continue to think about the type of work-life balance that they want. Now, in terms of wages, auto workers fall behind the average worker. This is average. According to government data, the average hourly worker for an auto worker is about $27.99, whereas the average worker around the country makes about $33.82. Now, we should say, for the automakers' part, you know, they say, wait a minute, we have to worry about prices as well because we have to compete with the non-union competitors. And so they have to be conscious of prices as well. I mean, that's what the automakers are saying. Clearly, the two sides are still pretty far apart, it seems, at least from what we can tell. But ultimately, the damage that could be caused in terms of the economy will really just depend on how long this strike ultimately takes.
Moving on now to the latest about Hurricane Lee, which was reclassed as a post-tropical cyclone before it made landfall over the weekend. Lee hit Canada's east coast on Saturday with strong wind, heavy rain, and flooding. Tens of thousands of people lost power in the storm. It's the eighth time since 2016 that a storm in the North Atlantic has reached Category 5, or the highest category for hurricanes. There have been 10 named storms in the Atlantic since August 20th, breaking the old record for most named storms in the Atlantic between August 20th and September 16th. Experts say this kind of severe weather could continue to happen more often as oceans warm up, and it's keeping hurricane hunters busy. CNN's Gary Tuchman joined a team of these scientists on a flight to document the storm last week. Take a look.
The Gulfstream 4 is typically a business jet, but this one is reconfigured. And its business is to help protect lives. These are the hurricane hunters. Eight scientists, engineers, pilots. They work for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, known as NOAA. Paul Flaherty is the flight director and a flight meteorologist.
We want to make sure we're collecting data in data-sparse areas in which there's currently no data available, or very little data available, for the weather models to use to make forecasts.
For this mission, this aircraft flies at altitude between 41 and 45,000 feet. It travels around 500 miles per hour. This is essentially a flying weather station, a weather station that goes to the weather.
For the next 8 hours, the men and women of the NOAA Corps will fly in this high-altitude reconnaissance jet above, below, around, and in front of Hurricane Lee.
I think for now we'll be fine, but...
Yeah, looks like plenty of space to maneuver around things.
After the jet leaves Lakeland, Florida, skies are clear. At this high altitude, you can clearly see storm-churned white caps in the ocean. It doesn't take long, though, for the sunshine to disappear. The flight gets turbulent as Hurricane Lee lurks ominously below us. All the while, science is taking place. This screen shows 34 locations where a tube, known as a drop sond, or sond, will be dropped out of the plane.
So this is the next drop sond that's going to be dropped. Rebecca Keller, NOAA engineer. What is in the drop sond?
So the drop sond consists of a sensor, and we have a circuit board inside as well as a battery. And the sensor is picking up humidity, air temperature, pressure, wind direction, and wind speed.
And about every 10 minutes, another drop sond with a parachute that is deployed is launched to the ground. Along with the sonds, the plane also has radar in its nose, Doppler radar in its tail, and two pilots up front, flying with a deep sense of purpose.
I joined the NOAA Corps, as did all of my counterparts, because we love to serve our country. We care about the citizens. And so it's really rewarding to know that I am like right at the front lines and risking my life in order to help the lives of everyone else that are back home.
The marathon flight is almost over.
All right, so that is the last sound of the... Woohoo! Woohoo indeed.
And as the plane heads back to Florida, out the window...
Looking good.
A spectacular sunset.
Yeah, so we're out of the storm environment, obviously. Could be just fair weather cumulus on our way back to Florida.
As the plane gets ready to land, time for the hurricane hunters to decompress and get mentally ready for more 8-hour trips to come.
So yeah, we kind of live up here, spend more time together than we do at home. Go home, sleep, eat, and repeat, you know, and get back up here, start collecting the data again.
Arizona, Saguaro National Park, an unidentified creature causing quite the stink on a surveillance camera. What is this? A spiky, frizzed out hair? Is this thing stretching its arms for a hug, doing a dance? Believe it or not, this is actually a spotted skunk, upside down, doing a handstand. And apparently, if you ever see a skunk doing this, it's time to say, smell you later, dude, because they do handstands as a form of intimidation. And if that doesn't work, their next move is to spray you. Our special shout out today is going to Skyline High School in Scottsboro, Alabama. Go Vikings! Did you know that Vikings had ice skates? Fun fact, they used animal bones for the blades. See you tomorrow, my Vikings and Queens. I'm Coy, and we are CNN 10.